I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The president has always said that diplomacy is his number one option and priority. Again, he tried earnestly, in good faith, to engage in diplomacy with the Iranian regime prior to this operation being launched in the first place. Despite all of the public posturing you hear from the regime and false reporting, talks are continuing and going well. What we're hearing from them is more reasonable. They have agreed to some of the points the United States laid out. If the Iranians reject this golden opportunity, the greatest military in the history of the world continues to stand by to provide President Trump with every option available to ensure this regime continues to pay a grave price.
That is, of course, Carolyn Leavitt, White House spokeswoman, making it very clear what we are doing correctly and what the other nations need to be doing and what Iran should do if they want to bring an end to the conflict. President Trump had shared footage of a U.S. strike on an Iranian munitions depot overnight. And now there apparently is another 10 days for Iran to accept a peace agreement before we target their energy infrastructure, which might include desalinization plants, providing water for Iran. But we're having trouble with some of our allies in the region. Getting to the point where there's no one that we can count on. One that we can count on and is still wanting our help and doing its job, Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says that already the U.S. aims have more than half have been achieved. But both refuse to put a timeline on this operation. Global markets are suffering, and you can see gas prices go up more, not just here, but across the world. But Trump is making it clear if our NATO allies are not going to step up and do what they should be doing, then they can go take care of the Strait of Hormuz by themselves. And they're not capable, and they're not willing. And the lack of willingness even to cooperate where we need the help just for landing fighters to refuel is becoming an obstacle. Former U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, says that Trump's potential next moves have been successful and that right now for Iran, the win is Iran is going to have to try to survive. And that would be to accept the peace offers in front of it, but not likely to do so. Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO, is calling for a decisive end to dealing with Iran, saying the U.S. must finish this thing to protect the global economy and remove the threat. And he points this out. Hear me on this point. According to Jamie Dimon, it's much more important that this be successfully completed than what is happening with the market. In other words, expect fluctuations in the market. Be prepared to deal with it, maybe suffer a little bit, but the long-range goal is to make sure that Iran does not have nuclear capabilities. Welcome to the second hour of Larry Connors USA. Here we are, March 31, 2026. You have to bear with me. I got into a shouting earlier about some of the things I'm doing here and think I pushed my throat a little bit hard. But with Larry Connors USA, we promise to give you news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. I have a question for you. Is your company using artificial intelligence? If not, why? And if so, how are you using it? Are you using it to the best of your ability? I've got a guest coming up later that can give you some additional background and information that will certainly help you and your company. Now, I want to point out to you, because I never try to hide this from my listeners, PRI Global Artificial Intelligence Prism Action Network is a sponsor of Larry Connors USA. And I've got their chief technology officer scheduled to talk to us later. So I'll make it clear to you, you're going to be hearing from one of my sponsors, but they are a great source when it comes to AI. And I've got some questions I think will shed more light on how AI can and should be used by you and your company. That's coming up later. Back to the situation of dealing with Iran. We have had deadlines put down by Trump, and then he will extend it as they allow more oil shipments to go through the Strait of Hormuz. I don't know if this latest report of 10 days is an actual date or not, but he is getting tired that they think they can buy time by, we'll let a few more ships through. That game is getting old. Trump does not play games. Iran wants to string it out as long as they can. We have more troops in the region, 82nd Airborne arriving, Marines ready. I'm not wanting boots on the ground inside Iran. I do not want an invasion force going into Iran. If we're going to use them to take Karg Island, the major factory distillation area for oil for Iran, 20 miles off their coast, I'm for that in a limited capacity. Now, I'm not obviously privy to all the intel, but I trust our commanders are, and the commander-in-chief, Trump will make the right decision. He doesn't really want troops in danger either. But we've got troops all across the region of the Middle East. And the other day, Iran fired a ballistic missile hitting one of our AWACS planes, which is a surveillance aircraft parked on a Kuwaiti airbase, and blew it apart and apparently seriously injured 5 U.S. troops. So they can reach out beyond what they've been doing. We cannot allow that to continue. So if they're going to step up and accept some of these deals to bring an end to the war, they're going to need to do it soon, because Trump is saying, we will begin targeting your energy infrastructure, aside from going after military installations. We're already hitting steel plants and other things that contribute to what Iran's building, the missiles and so forth. And in dealing with these folks, it's hard to determine who is the leader. We keep decimating the leadership. Somebody's made an admiral, boom, we take him out. Somebody's made a new commander, boom, we take him out. And those that are left, four-star General Jack King says, they're not willing, in fact, they are afraid inside their own ranks to do any peaceful negotiations.
And the people that are in charge now are hardliners. Make no mistake about it. The guy running the IRGC, Ahmed Vahidi, and the guy running the civilian side, Gavrilov, those are hardliners. And they have great difficulty even admitting negotiations are going on, or much less making a concession. Why? Because the rest of the hardliners would likely kill them. That is what is taking place inside the nucleus of Iran and its leadership.
Yeah.
So diplomatic challenge going forward for sure, military challenge as well. My preference is finish it militarily, because why? At the end of the day, you have the opportunity to truly weaken the regime, and you're not throwing them a lifeline in terms of sanction relief, billions of dollars for them making concessions to us.
And because we can't trust them anyway. Now, over the weekend, Secretary of War Hegseth didn't make a covert visit to our troops fighting in Operation Fury. So he's been on the ground to see what's happening, and now back in D.C. But one of the things Trump had suggested the other day that might be in play, that we would use U.S. troops to go into Iran to seize the enriched uranium which they have. basically is under layers of rubble because we pounded their facility so hard. But apparently he envisions that we could go in and retrieve the uranium. I don't think we could, and I'm not for it. I don't want U.S. troops exposed to that. But Sean Hannity asked a question of Major King.
You mentioned possibly destroying the 60% enriched uranium. Can that be destroyed? Can that be diluted? Or must it be extracted? Obviously, the easy way would be for them to agree to hand it over.
The president has options. I'm going to leave it at that. And he has got plenty of options in front of him what to do with the nuclear enrichment and the other capabilities that they have. In terms of the deal with them, I mean, so our audience understands what we're trying to achieve through diplomacy is what we intend to achieve through military operations. They would have to surrender all of the capability that they have with verification anytime, anywhere in space. At the end of the day, I believe they're not going to do that because that is who they are.
Yeah.
And they want to ride this thing out as long as they can personally survive it. They're in this to ride it out is my judgment here. We'll see what happens here. But the reality is we can accomplish all of the assigned missions, Sean, that the president has given to the commander of Central Command. And how do I know that? Because I've talked to him time and time again about it. And he's in the region right now talking to the troops today as we speak. And he's very confident about where we are.
King was referring to Hegseth in the theater last weekend, downrange. In the meantime, some of our NATO allies, France not allowing us to land and refuel jets, Spain doing the same thing. Now Italy. Maloney's supposed to be a great supporter of Donald Trump, but she's not doing it now. Secretary of State Rubio said, all of these folks that are in the NATO alliance, we're going to have to re-examine what we're doing for them.
Countries like Spain, a NATO member that we are pledged to defend, denying us the use of their airspace and bragging about it. Well, what is in it for the United States? But if NATO is just about us defending Europe if they're attacked, but them denying us basing rights when we need them, that's not a very good arrangement. That's a hard one to stay engaged in. So all of them's going to have to be re-examined. Straits of Hormuz will be open. It will be open, and it'll be open one way or another.
And one way or the other is, according to Trump, as he put on his Truth Social, speaking specifically to the NATO countries that are denying our use of their bases and airspace, basically saying, if you want the oil from the Strait of Hormuz, you go get it. Get your own oil. We're no longer going to be there to help you anymore. Good. Throw it back in their face. They will crack. You watch. They will crack. In the meantime, domestically, the Trump DOJ is diving into all the leftist groups in our nation trying to divide us and tracing down their funding and their real intent to do harm to you. And, of course, that includes cheating at voting time.
President Trump is directing the Justice Department to investigate Act Blue. This is a Democratic donation platform. And the focus as the allegations about a illegal straw donors and foreign contributions. Mark Meredith is live in Washington with more. This has been brewing for a while, Mark. What do we need to know?
Dana, for years, you're right about this, but this is a big development. The White House is directing the Attorney General to investigate the Democratic Party's top fundraising platform. It's called Act Blue, and the president says he wants to know if foreign money is being donated to the group and then utilized to sway elections. Democrats are calling this probe a dangerous abuse of power. Act Blue is an enormous operation in Democratic politics. It's raised more than $16 billion since 2004. You may have seen the text pop up from candidates saying, please donate, go to the Act Blue website. Republicans use something similar called Win Red. There was a new memo signed on Thursday directing the Attorney General to investigate if foreign nationals are using the Act Blue platform to bypass campaign finance laws. Trump wants a report out in 6 months.
And that's the key. You're entitled to try to raise money, but it must be properly accounted for. And you cannot have foreign money going into U.S. elections. George Soros and the rest of the Act Blue group know exactly what they're doing. They can cheat because they're willing to and they're able to get away with it. But hopefully we'll put a stop to it as we get deeper into it. And talking about cheating, part of that goes all the way back, of course, to census, because the census determines how many representatives each state has. Texas Congressman Hunt.
The Census Bureau admitted to having made several, quote, errors in their 2020 census report. Convenient, seeing that as in 2020, Donald Trump was on top of the ticket. In 2020, the Bureau undercounted in primarily deep red states such as Arkansas, Florida, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Texas, all red, while overcounting in red and radical left blue states like Delaware, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Ohio, and Rhode Island. This egregious error led to many states being denied proper representation in Congress and the Electoral College. So much so that these errors cost Republicans not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six seats in the House. In addition to the 2020 miscounting, including illegal immigrants in the census has improperly granted radical left blue states 12 additional seats in the United States House of Representatives.
And it's all done by cheating, by adding in illegals to the census or detracting them from some areas. And yet we had the left in the streets, as we saw this last weekend, protesting and chanting no kings, and yet they're the ones carrying out like a king and doing everything they can. Donald Trump's reaction.
What's your response to the protests over the weekend, the no kings protests?
I think it's a joke. I looked at the people. They're not representative of this country. And I looked at all the brand new signs paid for, I guess it was paid for by Soros and other radical left lunatics. It looks like it was. We're checking it out. The demonstrations were very small, very ineffective, and the people were whacked out. When you look at those people, those are not representative of the people of our country.
No.
By the way, I'm not a king. I'm not a king. I work my ass off to make our country great. That's all it is. I'm not a king at all.
And they say he's not a king. The left will say he's not a king. And yet they want to protest no kings. The only impact they had on one listener I know, he said, I drove past one of the marching groups and they struck my car with their sign. That's about it. Coming up, how AI can help your business. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. PRI Global is one of my sponsors. I always want to make that clear to you. I don't try to slip a sponsor into a segment as if it's a source that is just here because they are an expert. They are an expert, but they're also a sponsor. I've known the founder, AJ Patel, for decades now. And in fact, since 1997, PRI Global has been providing talented IT help and others. Now we're in the age of artificial intelligence. And the PRI Global provides technology and engineering, helping organizations modernize, secure, and scale everything from IT, cybersecurity, to the cloud. Joining us now, the Chief Technology Officer, Cord Hicks. Cord, welcome aboard.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Lay out for the audience again that you guys have your own in-house lab in helping develop for customers as to what they need, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So recent addition over the last year or two, we added an artificial intelligence division. And in that, we have a core product called Prism that acts as like an infrastructure tool for all things AI. And then we also take on some build projects as well.
Now, when you say takes on all things AI, that's nowadays that's a pretty big bucket to dive into.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we look to do is really use the AI layer to help with your operations directly. So instead of just having, you know, a simple chat bot here, maybe something that does your emails here, really having a holistic system that can take really end to end within a business use case is what we're looking at.
Seamless, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, give me some examples, some of the businesses you're working with and what you're able to achieve through PRI Global.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the newest clients that we have is actually in the healthcare space. And what we're doing is helping deliver real-time data from the very advanced textbooks, procedure books that they use in order to guide what they're doing, especially in emergency and trauma situations. So we're very happy to be doing that now as well. And we've also expanded into the IT sector where we're looking at aggregating data, tickets, monitoring, and support in order to really create a support and control tower in an IT organization, alleviate a lot of the burden that comes from that.
Now, again, in the health field, obviously we recognize the immediate importance of that, but you also deal with industries in other levels, in other areas.
Yes, absolutely. So we also have the manufacturing space and construction space, a lot of work around being able to look at future employment, what you need to do in terms of projection for labor and cost estimates, being able to help with project scheduling and projects logistics, really all of those little nooks and crannies that are very data forward, but also really kind of tedious, time consuming to deal with.
Now, in some cases, the employees look at AI coming into their company means the end of their job. That is not necessarily true. In fact, it might not be true at all.
Yeah, I really don't think that's the case. What we are typically looking to do, and what I see a lot of AI providers in general do, is we look to empower the individual, not replace the individual. So if a given employee is spending, say, 30, 40% of their time every day doing very tedious tasks, things like looking through emails, reviewing spreadsheets, doing things like this, that's where we can leverage artificial intelligence and give them back that 30 to 40% to do something that's going to be a lot more advanced and push the organization forward in a better way. So the ability to do more with less.
You're listening to Cord Hicks, the Chief Technology Officer with Prism at PRI Global. Now, when you're doing that, you're talking about working smarter, not harder.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, so whenever you're able to take away a lot of these burdens that kind of arise as you grow an organization, things like having to handle reporting, having to handle compliance specifications, a lot of filling out reports, reviewing data, making database decisions. If you can really rely on artificial intelligence to do all of this data gathering, data entry, then you can focus on things that are really going to take your company to the next level and do more productive work than just doing work that maintains but doesn't really move you forward.
Now, there's a recent Quinnipiac University study, a national survey of how to shape the future technology, public policy on AI, says that the use of AI is surging. 51% of Americans now use it, up from 37%. Only 27% say they've never used it, but 70% do believe AI will reduce job opportunities, and 81% of Gen Z expects job loss from AI. Again, how do you counter that?
Yeah, so what I would say to that is very similar to when we had the Industrial Revolution, right? The big invention of industrialized manufacturing, the production of cars, etc. There were a lot of jobs that disappeared. Stable hands, for example. The need for stable hands went way down. The need for the whole economy that was around horse-based travel kind of took a nosedive. But on the other hand, you had the emergence of a new economy with new jobs and new opportunities that really didn't exist before. So I think we're going to see more of a transition to new roles and responsibilities in the workforce rather than an overall net loss.
Well, in healthcare, since you mentioned that earlier, many will accept that AI performs better, but also one survey showing 80% still prefer human oversight. We're not quite there in the minds that even on Waymo cars, turning loose of the wheel and letting the car drive. I mean, everyone gets a little hesitant. Do I turn loose and trust or not? Well, we must have lost Cord. Sorry about that. Yeah, there is another survey that points out that while AI does perform better when it comes to healthcare, which is one of the things that they've been involved in, we have 81% just still want a human overseeing it. I think we understand that at this point, but at the same time, I think many Americans are getting to the point where they're going to start accepting it. It is, as he mentioned, the Industrial Revolution all over again, but on a different level. And for many that are involved in it at this point, they don't see any way around it. But again, as you heard Cord Hicks pointing out, and again, he's with PRI Global, one of my sponsors, what they're doing in the healthcare business is taking a lot of the tedious work off of healthcare providers so they can do the more specific and important work on your healthcare. Same thing for manufacturing. And if you're building something, you want to know what materials you're going to need and when, so you can schedule them in advance and get them set. In other words, on-time delivery when you need them. Cord, we lost you briefly. Glad to get you back. We're talking about the fact that a lot of Americans still just prefer human oversight, even if they're using AI.
Yes, for sure. So what we've seen is that the highest level of trust really comes from bringing the two together, right? You get the mechanical surgical precision of a machine-driven system, something like AI, but then you get the real expertise, tacit knowledge, human-to-human connection and experience from a true expert who is utilizing the technology. So really the best of both worlds is what is going to move us forward, move the economy forward, and really what I expect to see in the future.
And you talked about in the industrial realm, in addition to healthcare, what about construction? How's AI and Prism helping construction companies?
So really the margin of a construction company is going to live or die based on the quality of their planning and logistics. So the ability to understand exactly how much work needs to be done, exactly how much material is going to be required, what the project outlook looks like, and make sure that the project always runs smoothly. And these come down to all sorts of micro decisions that typically get made by the project coordinators. You can really rely on artificial intelligence to do a lot of this logistics because it's very deterministic, very if this happens, then that happens.
Yeah.
And so by putting a lot of that lift on an artificial intelligence system, not only is the review going to be higher quality because they can spend more time on it and they weren't the original producer, but the plans that are made are typically much more accurate than even a human can achieve.
All right. Cord Hicks, Chief Technology Officer, PRI Global AI, and their system Prism obviously could be of help to many of you listening. For you and your company or the company you work for, let them know about it. Cord, thank you again for your time today, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. PRI Global, as I said, I had relationships with the owner going back decades, and he's always been involved in deeply wanting to do what can be done to help people move ahead in their lives. AI, of course, is now not just on the horizon, but here. I remember several years ago, we're talking about it coming. It's here. And PRI Global has their own lab in-house to work with companies. Maybe it would be wise for you to check with them directly. PRI Global. PRI Global AI, again, a sponsor of Larry Connors USA. Never want to hide that information. Coming up, what the Democrats are trying to do when it comes to Department of Health and Safety.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. I got the hammer down, Detroit made, 525 pushing my ass right down that line. And that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on the road.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We have to understand it is Democrats. It's not Republicans that are refusing to fund DHS. It's Democrats. And you take a look at their record of opening up our border, flooding this country with sex traffickers, human traffickers, potential terrorists, Iranian sleeper cells. We need to fund these agencies, but the Democrats can do this. They can be so obnoxious, so obstructionist, because they are aided and abetted by the mainstream media who will never hold them accountable. So that's a reality we all face. Every Republican, both the Senate and the House, want to fully fund DHS, keep this America safe. It is Democrats who do not want to do that.
Yep, he's absolutely right. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, saying the Democrats don't want to do what's necessary to keep our nation safe. You cannot argue against that. They're the ones who are all for open border. Come on in, anyone and everyone, unvetted. Do you think that made our nation any safer? Of course not. And of course, their fight against ICE is just trying to find a villain that they can rally a cause to put a stop to. And they want to make sure ICE is reformulated, regulated in the way they want, as opposed to what might be beneficial for the nation. And they're holding everything else up the best they can. By executive order the other day, Trump went ahead and said TSA agents will be paid. And they are. I'm reminding of a comedian I saw the other day on one of the YouTube channels said, here's what we need to do about ICE. They're out there shouting, ICE, ICE, ICE. He said, maybe we just need to rename the organization, make it the National Immigration Customs Enforcement. So it won't be ICE, it will be NICE. You think that would back them down? No. Senate Republicans, according to the Hill, are working on a budget reconciliation package that could pass without any Democrat support and would fund the Department of Homeland Security for the next 3 years. I say do that. Do it now before we get to the midterm elections and maybe lose what control we have, because there are enough idiots out there that think the country's got to be whipsawed again by the left. Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota, Republican with the Senate Appropriations Committee, told reporters, we are working with reconciliation. We're going to send the House a bill that will actually fund DHS for the next 3 years. We're not going through this again with the Dems. We're taking this off the table. Enough with the Democrats. And I say amen, amen to that. And I'm looking at another piece that's been put forward that we're looking at a shutdown of our Homeland Security. Now the history at 45 days, 46 days today, and it could stretch on because last week the House Republicans did reject a Senate-passed resolution. But the employees are getting back pay, at least partial at this point, by the order of President Trump. And if you look at the airport lines as they're being reported around the nation, they're much shorter. Things are moving much better. You have to keep in mind, it's not just the inconvenience for American travelers. It's a threat to our security. If these TSA agents are overworked because so many have left the job, they're overworked because so many have to spend extra hours on duty, there could be something missed. Do you want to be on that flight? Again, I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm just saying, look at the reality of what could happen. And you don't see the Democrats fighting to keep TSA agents. They could care less because they want to argue ICE, ICE, ICE. There's another piece, this time from Politico, which says Washington is locked in a high-stakes game of chicken with the Department of Homeland Security, raising the possibility that thousands of federal workers could go unpaid for several more weeks. Now, that was written just this morning, pointing out the shutdown is already the longest ever experienced by any part of our government. And in recent days, political sparring has gone from being a mostly partisan showdown into a messy internal battle for the GOP. Yeah, there's some members inside the GOP that want to bow down. One TSA official said folks are thinking this could go into the summer, adding morale is low. TSA is getting paid while the rest of us in the Department of Homeland Security are not being paid as we should. So yeah, there's still money that needs to be spread around to help. White House Press Secretary Leavitt, defending Trump's decision to step in and fund the TSA paychecks, a move that many Republicans privately encouraged, saying the president has to do what is right to end this crisis we've had at air travel and airports across the country. So we're getting the screeners TSA paid. But right now, 50,000 airport security officers are being paid under Trump's executive action. But thousands more remain furloughed or working without pay. Now, this includes 2,000 employees in our federal cybersecurity agency, more than 4,000 FEMA workers, 1,000 Coast Guard civilians. It's all part of Department of Homeland Security. And the Dems just want to continue to hold out. Well, as I speak, NASA is underway with a countdown for our first launch to the moon in 53 years. There's a 32-story space launch system rocket right now ready to go. It's supposed to lift off tomorrow evening. We'll make that around 5:30 Central Time. They've got about a 6-day window to make the launch, depending on the weather. It was supposed to take off back a couple of months ago, back in Feb, actually. But they found hydrogen fuel leaks. The leaks have been fixed, but then they had a helium pressurization line clogged. Now, Artemis is basically going to be a 10-day flight out around the moon, deepest into space we've ever been, and then a splashdown in the Pacific. The pilot said over the weekend he wants young people to see this and think and realize we have a crew that includes a woman, a person of color also, and a non-U.S. citizen. It's not a DEI project, but these folks are qualified or they wouldn't be going. The non-U.S. citizen is a Canadian. But the pilot said, girl power, that should be awesome to them. And young brown and boys look at me, himself being Latino, and say, look, he looks like me and he's doing that. Or he's not, but one of the others. Glover is black and he says, we need to talk about, we're going to reach a day where they're no longer going to be first. We're simply going to be doing it because that's who we are. And I remind you again, they're not doing it simply for DEI positioning. Lunch is scheduled tomorrow, about 5:25, 5:30 Central Time. That could change. But if it happens tomorrow, it'll be during the Tim Smith and Chris Arps program. They'll be carrying it live for you. Make note of this, a win for those who want to prevent abortions. The Democrat governor of Kansas, Laura Kelly, voted to protect pro-life, or rather pro-life, against pro-life pregnancy centers. She did not want to have any protection for pro-life pregnancy centers. That was the decision of the governor. Well, the Kansas House voted 87-35, and the Kansas Senate voted 30-9 to overrule her rejection. As a Republican Senate president said, the bill simply protects pregnancy resource centers' ability to educate mothers and provide life-affirming care. But the governor was saying, oh, we shouldn't be doing anything with tax dollars on this. This is very personal, very private. That's why I'm vetoing it. So you have no problem with federal dollars going to an abortion or for transitioning kids. But if it's going to be saving lives and helping young mothers, suddenly you're concerned. I've had a commentary running today about one thing we know about the leftists. They are great hypocrites. There's another perfect example. Speaking of hypocrites, New York City socialist communist mayor Mondami, he's doing it again. Yes, he's doing it again. He is promoting free child health care. But of course, free? He doesn't say how the city can offer this freebie.
Now, we are here, even though it is very quiet. I would just like to remind everyone that it is an active construction site. And it is a site that we are building for the few New Yorkers who can be louder than an active site, which is New York's cutest. And this fall, it is a center that will be transformed into New York City's first ever on-site childcare program for municipal employees. This is a site that will be 100% free with the childcare that it provides. It'll provide full daycare from children as young as 6 weeks to as old as 3 years old. And on April 30th, these applications will open for every single worker in the David Dinkins building, as well as every single DCAS employee, regardless of their location across the city.
So they're going to have all this free child care for some of the city workers. How are they going to pay for it? Don't ask such a question. This is a socialist communist approach. We're just going to provide it. The money will follow. And it will follow in the sense that more taxes for the citizens and on business. And they want to know and cannot understand why we continue to lose citizens in New York City and the state. How much more do people want to be punished? They are going to, again, do what they can to take money from the common people and spread it around and probably open up doors to more fraud and greed. We know that. That's just common. And while he offers this freebie, take note of what I'm going to share with you right now. Are you listening? Are you listening? The New York City job growth has stalled for 6 years. And yet they've had many welfare workers being hired to support the needy migrants coming in, make that illegals for the most part. The New York Comptroller compiled this list looking at unemployment and employment numbers from August 2024 to August of the following year. And in every category of employment, they were either flat or at a loss. the only industry showing wide growth, the health and social assistance sector. Basically putting old people, putting their relatives on Medicaid's payroll. City of Chicago going through the same thing. And they want to blame Trump. It's them and their socialist attitude. Take note of this. I wonder how many Democrats will throw a fit the next time they fly into Palm Beach International Airport in Florida. And they find out that you're not landing at Palm Beach International. You are landing at President Donald J. Trump International Airport. Oh, there's going to be a wailing and a crying. I go into Palm Beach from time to time. I've got a daughter that lives near there. Well, Florida Governor DeSantis signed the bill yesterday, approving the name change of the Palm Beach International Airport to President Donald J. Trump International Airport. It takes place in July, rebranding the West Palm Beach facility, which is, of course, near Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. The House in Florida voting 81-30 along party lines. The Senate in Florida 25-11. Again, party lines. Now, the change is subject to approval by the FAA, but that's going to happen. But for Democrats, when they land and the pilot announces, "Welcome to President Donald J. Trump International Airport," oh, they're going to be upset. I'm not going to lose any sleep on it. Are you? Not likely at all. Reminding you, our story behind the story tomorrow. Marines taking Okinawa on that date. Thanks again for listening. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.